Each of us has a serious problem. We cannot come to God in peace because we have sinned. And there must be a propitiation offered to God before we can come to Him. The saving work of Jesus Christ in behalf of poor lost sinners is so great, no one term is sufficient to express the fullness of its meaning. Therefore, we enlist many words in the expression of our Christian theology. We speak of redemption, justification, reconciliation, atonement, ransom, and propitiation. Each of those words gives a particular insight into the saving work of Jesus Christ that makes the wonder of it the clearer to us. It's like turning a diamond that the reflected light may flash in the many colors which reveals the beauty of the gem. What is the value of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Applied in its sinward relationship, it is redemption which buys us out of the slave market with such a price that we will never be subject to bondage again. Applied in its manward relationship, it is reconciliation by which we're made to conform to the standard of divine righteousness. Applied in its Godward relationship, it is propitiation, which satisfies the claims of justice against our sins, that God may be forgiving and gracious to guilty sinners. That brings us to a definition of propitiation. Propitiation is the work of Christ that satisfies all the claims of divine holiness, righteousness, and justice, so that God is free to act in behalf of sinners. Now note that propitiation does not change the attitude of God toward sinners, but satisfies the demands of justice against their sins. God is always full of love and mercy toward sinners. Propitiation makes it possible for Him to manifest His grace by saving them from their sins. Consider this illustration. Here is a family in need of food. They approach the manager of a grocery store and ask for food to be given them without charge. He refuses to do so because his employer requires all the food to be sold, not given away without price. But suppose someone came to the store and gave the merchant an amount of money sufficient to pay for all the food the family needed. Well, then the merchant would gladly supply their need. He's free to act in their behalf. Now, that is the principle which explains propitiation in the spiritual realm. Sinners are in desperate spiritual need. They need forgiveness of sin and peace with God. God is loving and desires to receive each sinner in mercy and with grace. But there's a great sin debt which keeps him from receiving those sinners. That debt must be paid before he can accept sinners in peace. So Jesus Christ came and through his death and resurrection paid the debt by suffering the penalty for sin in his own body. He thereby removed the hindrance to God's gracious dealings with sinners and became the propitiation for our sins. You see, each of us has a serious problem. We cannot approach God in peace because we've sinned. There must be a propitiation offered to God before we can come to Him. The separation between God and man was manifest in the Old Testament tabernacle and temple, for a great veil or curtain separated the holy place where the priest went to minister from the most holy place where only the high priest could enter once a year with the blood of a sacrificed victim, the Holy Spirit thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. Beyond that veil, in the most holy place, was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat above it, where the special Shekinah glory of God manifested His presence. God had said, "There I will meet with you, and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims that are upon the Ark of the Testimony." It was a serious offense for one in ancient Israel to try to come into that inner room, that most holy place. Two of the sons of Aaron, though they were priests of God, died before the Lord because they did not distinguish between the things holy and the things profane. God made it very clear that not even Aaron, the high priest of Israel, could come into the divine presence of any time he desired. On the contrary, he could enter only at the appropriate times and only when he had the blood of a sin offering to present before the Lord. Sin on the record of any person in ancient Israel excluded him from approaching God. The Epistle to the Hebrews in our Christian New Testament explains the significance of that requirement as it relates to us today. You can read it for yourself in chapters 9 and 10 of Hebrews, a portion of which reads in this manner. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Do you catch the picture? So long as the tabernacle in the temple of the Old Testament period was standing, there was a mute and unceasing witness that men could not approach God directly for themselves. There was one priest who could enter the most holy place and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice in behalf of the people, but the people could not enter the presence of God for themselves. But Jesus changed all that. He made the sacrifice for sin, which did not merely remember sin, but which actually purged it and made it possible to obtain eternal forgiveness. And that removed the sin problem. God was propitiated that he might be merciful to the sinner who comes to him. Now that is the message of Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What a beautiful picture. That saving deed which Jesus accomplished in his death and resurrection has removed the curtain which kept us from God. Through his crucified body, that is, the accomplishments performed in his death and resurrection, we can come right into the presence of God. God is propitiated toward us. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt, removed any obstacle which would keep him from being merciful and forgiving toward us. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Father, we thank you and praise your grace in that you have removed all obstacles and made it possible for us to be saved and accepted in peace before you. Thank you for making us acceptable to you in your beloved Son, even Jesus. Amen.